Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let us pray. We pray, Holy Father, that through the instrumentality of thy word and Holy Spirit, thou wilt increase our faith to the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some chapters of the Bible are known as the great something chapter, like 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great faith chapter, sometimes called the Hall of Faith. In it, we're taught the supreme importance of faith in the one true God by the example of the heroes of the Old Testament. The writer actually introduced this subject in the last two verses of the previous chapter, chapter 10. Verses 38 and 39, and I could remind you that the chapter's divisions are a man-made convenience, they're not inspired. This is really a continuation of chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The just shall live by faith. He's quoting the prophet Habakkuk. Reverend Anderson is going to preach on that very text this evening. And believe it or not, we don't get together on what we're preaching, and it often happens that the sermons fit very nicely together. So I hope you'll be here tonight to hear that. This puts the importance of faith in perspective. The just shall live by faith. We believe to the saving of our soul. But if any man draw back from faith, he does so to perdition, to everlasting damnation. All because of faith or lack of faith. Martin Luther, of course, discovered the biblical truth of justification by faith in Jesus Christ alone by meditating on Habakkuk's text, the just shall live by faith. Not by worshiping the fingernails of saints or splinters of the true cross or anything the Pope can do, by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now let's begin with verse 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's believing in what you can't see. The substance of things not seen, things hoped for. St. Paul puts it like this, we walk by faith, not by what? Sight. Faith is walking not by sight. A boy came home from Sunday school and his mother asked him what he learned in Sunday school. He said, well, they taught us about faith. And she said, what is faith? He said, it's believing what ain't so. Faith is believing what isn't seen and is so. Faith gives substance to what you cannot see but you hope for. You can't see heaven. You can't see Jesus. And yet faith gives your soul substance and evidence of the reality of Jesus and of heaven. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The elders he speaks of here are the great patriarchs and heroes of faith of the Old Testament church that are his examples of faith in this chapter. What made these heroes famous? Their faith. By faith they obtained a good report, God's approval. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Here's the first example of God-given faith, and it comes from the first page of the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1, how God created the world. We weren't there to see it, but we have the account given by God himself. There was no giant explosion, no big bang. Can you imagine an explosion creating this complex solar system of ours with all these perfect spheres moving in all this exactly right way like a giant clock? When I was in the Army, we blew up a lot of stuff, a lot of big bangs, plastic explosives, dynamite. I never saw it create anything except a mess. Worlds were created by the word of God. God said, let there be, and it was. He spoke everything into existence out of nothing. Creation by fiat, by speaking. Creation ex nihilo, out of nothing. The work of creation, our catechism says, is God's making all things by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, creation itself is clear evidence of the Creator. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. You know, everyone has faith. Not saving faith, but everyone has some kind of faith. The atheist has faith. How does he know there's no God? He can't prove it. But he has faith that there's no God. With no evidence, and plenty of evidence that there is. Evolution is certainly a matter of faith. You know, when Charles Darwin wrote the Evolution of the Species, he expected there to be a great amount of evidence uncovered in the coming years. It was the beginning of the discovery of paleontology, the study of fossils. He expected to find many fossils uncovered that would prove evolution. Well, that was the middle of the 19th century, and there hasn't been a single fossil ever discovered of one species becoming another one. There's no evidence. It's not happening now. There's no evidence it ever did happen. There are all different kinds of dogs, little tiny ones, great big ones. But there's no evidence of a dog ever becoming a pig or a cat or anything else but a dog. The seed of every creature contains that creature's species alone. In the animal kingdom, in the vegetable kingdom. So creation, believing the doctrine of creation, it's a matter of faith. Personally, I don't have any problem at all with it, even though I grew up my whole life believing in evolution until I read the truth. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. This is the first mention in the Bible of saving faith and of righteousness by faith. Adam's son, Abel, obtained righteousness by his faith. God approved Abel's faith, and therefore he approved his sacrifice. He didn't approve his sacrifice and therefore approve Abel. He approved Abel's faith and therefore approved his sacrifice. You know, next week we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And unlike Rome, we don't believe that we're sacrificing Jesus Christ. But we do believe we're commemorating his sacrifice We show his death until he come. And St. Paul tells us that in taking that sacrament, faith is extremely important. Now, some people taking it without faith, he said, have become sick and even died, not discerning the Lord's body, the spiritual presence of Christ. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch is the next pre-flood example of faith. He walked with God, and he was not because God took him, it says in Genesis. He walked with God. He had fellowship with God, which you can do only by faith. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. He walked with God, and it pleased God. And it, because of this, God translated him that he should not see death. He went immediately to heaven, not through the door of death. Walk in fellowship with God, you will please him. And this you can do only by faith. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, people can have many gifts and talents, but if they don't have faith in God, they're not pleasing to him. It says there are two things are required of faith. First, you have to believe God exists. Believe that he is. And secondly, you have to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, Jesus talks about that kind of faith when he says, you know, if you ask your father for bread, would he give you a stone? If you, being evil, can give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father to you? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Salvation by faith, Noah. St. Peter tells us Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For decades he preached to his neighbors that a terrible flood was coming, the deluge. They had never seen a flood before. There had never been one. So why should they believe there's going to be one now? And so they didn't believe. Noah had faith that it would happen because God said it would. They didn't believe God's preacher. And so when the flood came, they all drowned. I often think of how, you know, people deny that the wrath of God. Did they ever hear of Noah's flood? And Noah's a favorite theme for children because they like the cute little animals. But the story is really terrifying. I almost drowned twice in my life. Very scary experience. The whole world drowned, men, women, and children, because of God's wrath, because they didn't believe. Isn't it the same today? You tell people there's a coming day of judgment. Well, we never saw a day of judgment. Most of them will not believe you, just as they didn't believe Noah. But it's true, and it will happen. These were the three great heroes of faith in the world before the flood: Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And what made each one of them famous was their faith in the one true God. Now we come to the first hero of the faith after the flood, Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham lived in Mesopotamia when God called him to leave home, and he didn't tell him where he's going. He just said, "You're going to a land that I'll show you." Abraham obeyed in faith that God would never lead him wrong. He was willing to go to an unknown place because he trusted the Lord. Christian life is like that, isn't it? You can't see the future. You just have to trust the Lord one day at a time, one step at a time, that he's leading you and he knows what he's doing and he's leading you right. Commit thy way unto the Lord and he will direct thy path, Solomon says. Lead thou me on, I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. You don't need to know what the future holds if you have faith in the one who holds the future. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He sojourned in the land of promise, but this promised land the Jews didn't actually get for many centuries later. Abraham lived there as a foreigner. The only property he ever obtained in the promised land was a family tomb to bury his wife. He and the other three patriarchs never had a house. They lived in tents, tabernacles. They were homeless nomads living as foreigners in what was the promised land to them. But you know why they did it? They saw that this promised land was an emblem of a better land, of the heavenly land. They looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, most of you know that when Sarah first heard from the Lord that she was going to have a child, she laughed in unbelief. So why is she included as a heroine of faith? Well, because she initially didn't believe, but then obviously she did. It says she judged him faithful who promised. Many people have doubted, and then come the faith has arisen in their hearts by the blessing of God. And by her faith and Abraham's faith, the promise was fulfilled. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The promise they saw afar off and didn't receive in this life is the same promise you and I see afar off. The heavenly land Jesus calls paradise. We see it afar off, we embrace it, we confess it, and we confess that here we're foreigners and pilgrims. Abraham said to the sons of Heth, "I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you." I'm a foreigner and a sojourner. It's like a tourist. Jacob spoke to Pharaoh of the days of my pilgrimage. He saw his life as a pilgrimage. He's going somewhere. The Apostle Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. You ever hear the old gospel song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through"? That's biblical. We're on a pilgrimage to a better place. "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." If you say that you're a foreigner and a stranger in the earth, that means that by faith you're looking for a better country to live in, the heavenly. And there's some unusual language here, but take some explanation, I think. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, if God had promised heavenly city, and he hadn't made one, he would be ashamed to be called their God. That's what he's saying. But he doesn't have to be ashamed to be called their God, because what he promised, he also fulfills. He has made that heavenly city. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." This is perhaps the supreme example of faith, Abraham's willingness to offer his own son in sacrifice. Among those ancient tribes, sacrificing your own child wasn't unusual. It's like abortion is not unusual today. You remember Joshua, after the destruction of Jericho, cursed it, and he said, "The man who rebuilds Jericho will do it, build the wall over his sons." And the man who rebuilt Jericho sacrificed two of his sons to pacify the demon gods, so he thought. But this was a heathen practice, one that Scripture strongly condemns. And you know, in this case, God did forbid Abraham to carry it out. But the Lord was testing Abraham's faith with this terrible order. "Thy son, thy only son." Well, Abraham had another son, Ishmael. But Ishmael wasn't a son of the promise. He wasn't a son of the covenant. His only son by Sarah was this miraculous son, Isaac, who was the covenant son, and through Isaac, he would become father of many nations. Isaac hasn't had any children yet, and now he has to be put to death. So how can it be the father of many nations if Isaac's going to be put to death? Only if God will raise him from the dead. And that's what Abraham believed he would do. Resurrection, faith. And then it says, and in a figure, that is what happened. In a symbolic way, he received Isaac again alive from this ordeal in a picture of resurrection. And a beautiful picture, really, of the gospel. You know, God provided a ram, and the ram is killed instead of Isaac. The Lamb of God is killed instead of the elect. Resurrection faith, the heart of the gospel. When I was preaching on what is and what isn't the gospel, I analyzed every sermon in the book of Acts. And it impressed me how the resurrection was central to every sermon. The death, it never said what the death was for. He didn't say he died for your sins. He didn't even say he died for the sins of the elect. That's all in the Bible, but it's not in these gospel sermons. So he dies and rose again. You have to believe it because he's Lord. That's really the basic sermon. And when the gospel went from Roman Empire to Northern Europe, it was called the Gospel of Christ the Victor. It's basically what they preached. Christ is the victor. He rose victorious over the dead. He rules heaven and earth. You must put aside your demon gods and believe in him. When you do, you can learn the theology of election and vicarious atonement and all those things. But it wasn't an original presentation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. When in doubt, rebuke the devil and say, I believe every word of God. Amen. O Lord, we thank thee for the gift of faith that we would not have hadst thou not made us alive in Christ. We pray that this gift that we have, we may exercise, that we may each one in his own small way be a hero or heroine of faith. Amen.